select the Father and Son podcast.
Hello, welcome to Game Select,
a Father and Son podcast.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, we've done the intro, didn't need to do it again, but that's absolutely fine. Doesn't matter, does it? You can do that all the time. You've been singing that all week, to be honest, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it didn't take too long to do, really, did it, that little jingle?
No.
And I'm glad that everybody has been enjoying the podcast so far. We've had quite a few listens, haven't we, on YouTube and on Spotify?
Yes.
Yeah, how have you felt about people listening? Have you been happy that people are listening?
Yeah, but on YouTube there's only 3 subscribers.
Yeah, but you've got to start small.
Yeah, I know.
You know, if we can double those subscribers, that'd be great, wouldn't it? So if anybody's listening now, subscribe if you're listening on YouTube, subscribe if you're listening on Spotify, and like us on Facebook as well.
Yeah.
And then eventually, you know, today it might be 3 subscribers. You know, next week it could be 6.
Yeah.
Be impressive, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, Brody, what are we talking about today?
Crash Bandicoot.
Is there any particular Crash Bandicoot we are talking about today?
Crash Bandicoot 1, but the Insane Trilogy version, which is a more updated version with an extra level called Stormy Ascent.
Yes, and we've been playing that on the Nintendo Switch, haven't we?
Yes.
Yeah, so there is an original version of Crash Bandicoot 1, isn't there?
Yeah.
And what's your take, looking at the old gameplay, and obviously you've been looking at the new gameplay as well, what's your take on the old versus the new?
Well, on the old one, they, on the finishing, if you got all the boxes, Crash Bandicoot's mouth just went, opened really wide on the old one. Now it would look better, but right in the old, his mouth, like, opened weirdly.
Yes.
It went really far open.
Yeah, I think the remastered Insane Trilogy does a really good job at cleaning up the graphics, doesn't it?
Yep.
And gameplay, however, is still very hard.
Yes, and it can be very frustrating. Like, you shouted at it a lot.
I did shout at it a lot, and it raised my blood pressure quite a bit this week. I'm being honest, Brody, you picked a game that made me want to scream. So, what's the name of the first boss? Can you remember that?
Pink
Panther. No, it's Papu Papu.
Papu Papu, yes.
Yeah, that's it. A very strange name. And the second was Ripperoo.
The second boss. The first boss is fine and easier, but the second boss, he is one of the hardest things I have ever seen in my life.
Well, here's the thing. It was hard. We lost about 12 lives, didn't we?
Yes.
Which was frustrating and did make Dad cry. But then you realise, and I think this is a pattern throughout the game, there's always a pattern. But there is a pattern to follow with Ripperoo.
Yeah.
When you face him as a boss. And once you figure that out, it makes it fairly straightforward. So what was your favourite level, Brody?
Jungle Rollers.
So my favourite might actually surprise you a little bit. So in hindsight, my favourite level was Native Fortress.
But that was your level that you were screaming at.
Yes, I was screaming at that. And again, we lost about 25 lives, didn't we?
Yes, until you figured out a secret part.
Exactly. So there are bits in that that aid you in getting it finished and getting it done. And a lot of techniques that you need to do to get through that level. But when you complete it, there's a real sense of satisfaction, isn't there? Of getting that level done. But I'm not going to lie, it is a very tough level.
Plus, it gives you 4 lives at the end.
Because this is one of those games where really, the design really would lend itself to having infinite lives.
Yeah, but they still haven't upgraded it in the Insane Trilogy.
Would you say that's a bit of a flaw with the game?
Yes.
I agree, because there are hard games out there now.
But they, like Dizzy.
Yes, Dizzy.
Like we were talking about in last episode.
Yes.
It has a option in the newest one to actually have infinite lives.
Exactly. And there are games out there now, you know, Dizzy did that, it turned it on. But even really tough games like Celeste, that's a really hard game and a really hard platformer and a challenge. But that has infinite lives. You know, if you die on it, you just go back, start again. I think if that had been implemented here on the remaster, or at least a selection, that would have really helped. Do you think?
Yeah.
So let's just talk about a level that made me feel nervous. I don't know whether it made you feel nervous, but the boulders level.
Yeah, it does make me feel nervous. You know when you're doing that, like, jump bit?
Yeah.
It's really, like, a big, 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 big
So do
gap.
That again, Brody. Brody's doing physical exercise in the middle of the podcast. Go on, do it again.
It was a big, 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 big gap.
Yeah, do the jump. People can't see this, but Brody's jumping across the room. I did mention last week, but he does like to jump across the room. Yep, there we are. He's back now, jumping. So that is a bit like Crash Bandicoot in some of those levels, isn't it? When he's jumping between those... Are they flowers in one of the levels?
I don't think we got that far.
No, we did.
When?
The plants that, like, bite you and you have to jump onto.
Oh, those plants.
So let's have a chat about Crash itself, the character. What do you think of the character and the way it looks?
I think it is very unique and also orange and blue mix as well.
Yes, I think so. And there's an interesting take here, isn't there? There's an old versus new design on the Insane Trilogy and the PlayStation 1 from back in the day. Which do you think looks better and which do you prefer out of those two?
Well, I prefer both the newest one.
Yeah, and why is that?
Well, the old one, it has better graphics now.
And is it Crash Bandicoot, those better graphics, does it make it more enjoyable to play in that sense then?
But in the game, there is not enough checkpoints or lives.
No, there is not. Checkpoints on some of those levels are quite far apart, specifically Native Fortress, which, as I said, I did enjoy in the end, but yes, could have done with a few more checkpoints, couldn't it?
Also, there is no instruction at all of what you're going to have to do.
No, and that was even harder back in 1996, I believe, when this first released, the original one. There wouldn't have been the internet, really, back then. You know, it might have been in its infancy, might have just started, but people didn't really have access to that sort of thing. So people relied on magazines, you know, and guides in magazines. But that's hard because you might not get a magazine with that guide in.
Plus, you have to buy that.
Yes. Whereas now, we have the internet, which is really helpful, isn't it? I think.
Yes.
And I think it's always good to have these guides that are written by people that have played through the games. Because ultimately, you are going to get stuck in Crash Bandicoot. It's a very tough game and doesn't make things super obvious.
And it can be very confusing. Also, the music can be very annoying and repetitive.
Oh, okay, let's talk about the music then. Did you like the music? I think it's quite varied on different levels.
But then if you're on a level for long enough, it starts to just get...
Yes, I imagine maybe that's the case. Maybe we should mute the music after a while and turn that off. Because I believe there is an option to turn the music down on the option screen. So we could do that. Because, especially Native Fortress, after you've done it for like the 30th time, it is a bit like you want to scream.
Yes.
Let's just talk about the design of Crash. Go back to that a bit more. I've got another question for you.
What?
So you've mentioned that you prefer the Crash Bandicoot that's in the Insane Trilogy collection.
Yes.
Now, I know you're a big fan of Skylanders.
Yes, I also really like this design. It is a very good design. I kind of don't like this figure because it was covered in moth eggs.
Okay, well, we don't need to mention that on the podcast, really, do we?
No.
It has been cleaned.
Yes, but
that's what happens when you buy things. You know, these Skylanders are... People have them and keep them in storage and don't look after them. It's one that you wanted for a while, and we have it now.
Yes, we only had Neocortex before. Also, I have a Neocortex Knight, a Neocortex figure. I have a lot of Neocortex things.
Yes, it looks like you're a super Neocortex
fan. I'm not! That's the problem. Anytime I try and get something, it always... Like, this came from a pack.
Yeah, I get the impression that Neocortex perhaps isn't the most popular. You can find them quite easily, whereas Crash Bandicoot obviously is quite popular. So my question about the design for the Skylanders Crash Bandicoot, because it is slightly different. Which one do you prefer, the Skylanders version or the Insane Trilogy version?
Now I'm actually thinking, because this one has slightly darker colours and...
Well, the Skylander one.
Yeah, look. And this one has folded up trousers, as you can see.
Yeah, there's a bit more design. I suppose that's because it's a figure, isn't it? But in the game it looks like that as well, in Skylanders, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So which one do you prefer?
I can't really decide.
No, I like the design of both of them. I think they both individually are very, very nice. And they're quite similar in the sense. And I actually really like that Skylanders figure. So I would recommend, even if you don't play Skylanders, that Crash Bandicoot figure looks really good on the shelf.
Yes. But if you get a Neocortex, you need to take well care of it. Because if you don't, it will get pale after a while.
I think that always happens with things that are like yellow.
I keep them in the box now, but this one clearly is quite old time.
And it might just be the case that it might yellow over time, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just the case of some of these old toys. It does happen to a lot of toys, and
yeah,
it's unfortunate, but yeah, it still looks good.
But there is a question that I have Why have they got Crash, Neo, but no Coco? There could definitely be a Coco tech figure, I would say.
They could have done. I suppose Skylanders really just introduced that, and I imagine they didn't want to have loads of Crash Bandicoot figures.
Oh, speaking of Skylanders, Spyro 4 is coming out soon, isn't it?
So there's rumours that Spyro 4 is going to, or is in production by, is it, what's their name? Toys
for Bob.
Toys for Bob, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Very strange name. And of course, yeah, rumours of Spyro 4. Now, obviously, well, this is Crash Bandicoot, but quite linked to Spyro, really, isn't it? You know, Spyro's also in Skylanders. I know this isn't a Skylanders episode, but
also,
we're talking about.
And also in the Skylanders show on Netflix, Crash and Spyro are in an episode. Crash comes in an episode, so.
Yeah, and you're excited then about Spyro 4 potentially
yes.
happening? And I think Spyro is a game we will visit as well. Because I really enjoy Spyro 2, so maybe we'll look into doing Spyro.
I don't think they're ever going to make a new Skylanders game after Imaginators.
Well, you never know. So let's have a talk about Bandicoots themselves. Because I showed you a picture of a Bandicoot earlier.
Yes.
Crash Bandicoot does not look like a Bandicoot.
There is one thing about that is, it's the V-shaped head bit, but...
Yes. I mean, obviously this is more of a human character that's
yes.
been created.
It's more of a humanoid Bandicoot.
Do you know what they originally were going to call him?
What?
They were going to call Crash Bandicoot, and this would have changed the whole series, if I'm being honest, Willy the Wombat.
What?
What do you think of that name?
Why?
That means he would have been a wombat and not a bandicoot.
I don't like that.
No, I don't think they did. They called him Crash.
Because he spins like...
Yes. Brody's just off on his physical education lesson again. He'll join us again in a moment.
And I'm back, but dizzy.
Dizzy? That was last week.
No, I'm back, but I spin.
Okay. He was named Crash, because you're quite right, he spins, but he crashes into all the crates.
Yeah.
Do you know why the crates were put in the levels?
Wait, actually, why?
Because when they designed the levels, they thought they were a bit empty without any crates. So you think about it. It would have been quite empty. So they put them in.
For like the bonus levels, like the Coco bonus levels.
And it's actually a big part of the game, isn't it? Smashing the crates, collecting all the apples.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big part of it. You know, especially in the Insane trilogy, when you get to the end, it tells you how many crates you missed. And actually embarrasses you a little bit if you've missed over like 10.
Yes, you've once missed 30-ish.
Yes, I did.
No, actually 40-ish.
Was it 40-ish?
Yeah, like on one of the levels.
Well, now you're shaming me on the podcast, so now I'm quite upset. Never mind. But yeah, it's tough. So you know when you've had a bad level, and sometimes you just want to get through the level,
yes.
get to the end, and get on to the next level. Next week then, what are we going to talk about? What about Spyro 1?
But we haven't got the game yet.
Well, that...
Okay!
What happened last week was...
We bought it.
It happened to appear. Didn't it?
Yes.
Yes. So we'll see this week. We'll see what happens.
We might.
There are game fairies that exist, aren't there?
Yeah.
Magical game fairies. Anyway, is there anything else you'd like to say? I think we've done a really good job of speaking this podcast. You know, you've really got better and improved this week. So anything else you want to kind of bring up about Crash Bandicoot? Or anything?
Okay.
What are you having for dinner?
No.
Bandicoot.
Let me think for a little.
Okay. I can hear the cogs turning in your head.
It is pretty good that it changes between 3D sometimes to like a 2D version.
That's a really good point, actually. And the original designers and the people that came up with the Crash Bandicoot game were inspired, from what I've read, by Donkey Kong Country.
Oh.
You know, because that was a 2D platformer.
Yeah.
And that was that side. As you said, the Crash Bandicoot levels do have some of them, don't they?
Yeah. And like Native Fortress.
Native Fortress is exactly like that.
There's like one part, there's some parts where you're bouncing and that's when it's like that, but most of it is 2D.
And those Donkey Kong Country games are also very hard. They had the 2D ones, but when they went into 3D, the designers realised that you were going to be looking at Crash's butt for most of the game. And you do, don't you?
Yeah.
You follow him behind a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But he's super animated and super... Especially at the start of that first level as well. You know, when he turns around and looks at the camera, doesn't he? And shakes off the sand.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
I'm pretty sure it did that on the old game too, but...
Yes.
If you look at a comparison of them now and then, is completely different. In the old one, his smile was like creepy. And his eyes were like weird.
Yeah, I think that's an unfortunate design because of the pixelation and jagged edges on PlayStation. But that's what we used to have to play. And that wasn't even that long ago. That was 1996.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose that is a long time ago.
Yes, actually.
Feels like yesterday for me, Brody. But I'm an old man, so...
Actually, you're...
Don't mention that! Shh! On that note, before Brody reveals my age, I hope everybody has a great week. And we'll speak to you next week. Say bye, Brody.
Bye.
Bye.
Games Select, the Father and Son Podcast.